I would now like to welcome our next guest. She has a brand new film out. I'd like to welcome Jerry Rice, who is the director of a film called Embargo. Jerry, thank you for joining us in studio.
Thank you. Good morning.
Okay, so Embargo, well, you tell us about it.
Well, this is a story that kind of came to me out of nowhere. I was from Portland, Oregon, and had lived in Seattle, and I went to Cuba for the first time in 2002 with Senator Cantwell and a group of women from the University of Washington. And the second day that we were there, we had a meeting with Fidel Castro, which was a big surprise, I think, to all of us. And I think the thing that made me, that really turned me into someone that wanted to find out more about the relationship between Cuba and the United States was my meeting with Castro, when he turned to us and he said, "I tried to create a utopia and I did not succeed, and I don't have time to fix it." And just the humility of that, and the man that I knew as a child growing up as a monster, you know, during the Cuban
Betrayed
Missile Crisis.
Betrayed in the U.S. mainstream media.
Right. Yeah. And when I met him, he was something very different. And when I came home, it's like in Homeland Security where they say, if you see something, say something. Well, I saw something. And I've been spending the last 14 years trying to find out exactly what that something was.
Right. And that's interesting because you've come from a career in fashion. I could see that
from what you're
wearing today.
Thank you.
To foreign policy and then to filmmaking. But what does Groundworks Coffee Shop on Rose Avenue in Venice, California have to do with all of this?
Well, it's interesting. When I came from Seattle to pursue my dreams, to really find out how I could put a film together, I came to the place that I felt was the most creative. And it turned out for me that that was Groundworks Coffee Shop. It was a place that I lived next door to, and I came every day. And through that, through the relationships that I developed there, I met some pretty interesting, talented people. And I wasn't a filmmaker. I was in the fashion industry. I had four clothing stores. And you know, I really had to learn the process of filmmaking as I learned the history. And as this whole thing developed, Groundworks became ground zero for me on a daily basis.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. And we also want to thank Suzanne Thompson, who is one of the producers of this film and really helped for this interview for Jerry to happen. We want to thank Suzanne also for her support for this show and for the station. Now, what about some of what you learned in making the film and doing the research for your film? There's a lot of information in there. JFK and the Bay of Pigs invasion that was defeated. A lot of people use the word failed. Well, it was defeated. The Cubans beat the hell out of these, you know, Miami refugee Cubans that did that invasion. But what were some of the things, shocking things that you learned in making the film?
Well, when I started on this journey, I think what became clear to me is this was definitely a CIA operation. I mean, it began with Alan Dulles, the relationship between Dulles and Nixon and the Bush family. Mm-hmm. You know, and when you look at the whole thing, when you look at the assassination of Kennedy, when you look at the Bay of Pigs, the Guatemalan coup, when you look at Watergate, when you look at Iran-Contra, when you looked at our American history and you see the links of the people and the way that it moves through the entire history to today.
Yeah.
There are definitely links, and I don't think anybody has ever put it together in a way that puts it all in context, as we did in Embargo. I mean, we all heard about Cuba. We all heard about Fidel. We're hearing about the hurricanes and everything. But what I realized was my own country's responsibility in all of this. And that, to me, is why I made the film, really, because it's about my country. It's in my name. It's the generation of people, the 76 million baby boomers that never got the truth about any of this.
Right. And people who are still not getting the truth. I mean, in the film, Lucy Arnaz, the daughter of Ricky Ricardo, as many remember, she is part of the film. But also you covered what the evolution of Fidel from the hero revolutionary leader coming to the United States seeking assistance and being rejected and really being pushed into the arms of Russia.
There's a great clip in the movie where Fidel speaks in English.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody asked him, why are you going back on a Russian airplane, Fidel? And he said, simply because here you stole my airplanes, and the Russians offered me basically a ride home.
Yeah. I want to do, if it's okay with you, I want to play a clip from your film. And
fantastic.
People will be hearing it for the first time. And I focused on, you know, this whole story because I'm from Barbados in the Caribbean, and a plane was blown up over my island. Full of Cuban young people and other Cubans. And the mastermind of the blowing up of that plane is running around in Miami like nothing happened, protected by the United States. Let's go to that clip now.
I had no idea that we were harboring terrorists in the United States. Then I heard the story about Cubana Flight 455.
Posada Carriles was no ordinary Cuban-American terrorist. Posada was a CIA agent.
Whom we trained, whom we paid, whom we aided and abetted to conduct terrorist acts in Cuba, which were not terrorist acts because we were at war with Cuba.
Posada Carriles was imprisoned in Venezuela for blowing up this plane. He escaped, bribed his way out of prison with the help of Cuban-American community, rich benefactors in Florida. He went immediately to Central America, where he joined the Reagan administration's secret Iran-Contra operations. It was actually paid from the money that flowed from illegally selling arms to Iran and being illegally diverted to the Contra war in Nicaragua.
Well, in 1985, the man who was running Iran-Contra by everyone's admission here in Washington was the Vice President of the United States, President George H.W. Bush again.
Luis Posada Carriles was involved in a huge plot to kill Castro in Panama in November of 2000, where he was arrested and imprisoned for 4 years. After he came to the United States in 2005 illegally, the Bush administration just let him wander around Florida. It is clear that his coming to the United States was part of a broader plot to attack Cuba again during the second term of the Bush administration.
Well, that is just a 2-minute clip from the powerful film. I watched this film all the way through, and Jerry, you packed so much into the film. It was, you know, you can see my pages of handwritten notes here. I can't get to speak with you about all of that, but I wanted to pull out the clip. And that's just 2 minutes. Imagine what you'll learn in the rest of the film about Carriles Posada, because it really underscores a lot of the point that you made earlier about all of these connections. But another connection in the film that I really knew very little about was the relationship between John F. Kennedy and Khrushchev of Russia. And they were communicating with each other.
Those two men literally saved the world. I mean, there's a really funny clip that Bobby Kennedy Jr. talks about in the movie, how they had this spy from Russia that used to come to their house all the time, and it made the CIA crazy. And that spy had taken the first letter from Khrushchev to Kennedy, and they had a series of letters between the two of them that literally saved the world, because both of them were afraid of coups, and they were very close. And it was funny after meeting with Bobby Kennedy and then going to meet with Khrushchev's son, Sergei Khrushchev, who teaches about
and who's in the film,
who's in the film. I mean, the relationship between the two of them. And then we have Ted Sorensen, who was the speechwriter to JFK and was in the room and verifying it. And so it's like, and then we have Peter Kornbluh from the National Security Archives with all the documents of it. And you see a very clear picture. I mean, from the people that were in the room, that is very different from the history that we all thought we knew.
Right. And Jess, I do want to play another short clip bringing us up to where we are now. Before I do that, though, you also show and talk about the impact of this embargo. I mean, it is internationally, it is illegal. Every other country in the world opposes this embargo on Cuba, and it includes food and medicine. You're starving people out.
Well, we talk about human rights.
Yeah.
We have definitely breached their human rights. And I mean, the other thing that we're talking about now is the catastrophe of this storm that is going to hit Cuba.
Yeah.
But we have been the storm that's been hitting Cuba for all these years. I mean, you know, if you're a human being, you have to look across the water at Cuba and you have to say, these are some of the most amazing people that I personally have ever met. Their spirit, their music, their art, their zest for life, and their love for the Americans. I never felt safer going to Cuba. I never felt more taken care of. I mean, you can say whatever you want. I found the country to be one of the most unique, beautiful places on the planet.
Well, the island is indeed. I haven't been, but my island is beautiful. And I hear that Cuba is even more beautiful, if one could imagine, just imagine that. But what I'd like to do now is that a lot of us were very hopeful when President Obama visited Cuba and tried to reset the U.S. relationship with Cuba, and hopes dashed then somewhat with the election of Donald Trump. I just want to play a contrasting clip, a short piece, again from the film Embargo, a short piece of President Barack Obama, and then a short piece of Donald Trump.
Today, the United States of America is changing its relationship with the people of Cuba. In the most significant changes in our policy in more than 50 years, we will end an outdated approach that for decades has failed to advance our interests, and instead, we will begin to normalize relations between our two countries.
President Trump will treat the Castro regime as the malevolent dictatorship that it is. Thank you, President Trump. You have not betrayed us. You kept your promise. I am so thrilled to be back here with all of my friends in Little Havana. Those days are over. Now we hold the cards. We now hold the cards. We will enforce the ban on tourism. We will enforce the embargo.
And this is the brand new film, Embargo, a documentary film by Jerry Rice. And you can go to get the showtimes. The website is www.embargofilm.com. We also have information on it up on our website. But it's also going to be showing in New York City. So New York City listeners will have a chance.
We're going to be showing at the Village East from the 15th through the 21st of September. And the 15th is
the Village East in Manhattan.
In Manhattan. Yeah. And that's the day that Donald Trump is going to be announcing his policies on Cuba. We have the Cuban ambassador to the United Nations that is going to be joining us on the Q&A panel. I mean, it's very, very, I mean, what's...
And tell us the dates again. It'll be at the Village East.
The Village East is the 15th through the 21st. And on the 15th, we're going to have an amazing Q&A.
Right.
With Peter Kornbluh from the National Security Archive, with Sandra Levinson, who is one of the main experts on Cuba, and with the UN ambassador.
Right. Well, I'm afraid on that note, we are going to have to leave it there. People are just going to have to go see the film to find out what else is in these pages of notes that I have and what else is in the film. And it's Embargo, a documentary film by Jerry Rice. And for our listeners in New York City at the Village East in Manhattan, from the 15th to the 21st.
Can I just say a big shout out to the Arts and Cultural Bridge Foundation for giving us the legs to get this movie out to all of you. And thank you, Suzanne Thompson. And thank you very much, Margaret.
All righty. We are going to have to leave it there. But congratulations. You also wrote some of the music.
I did.
So the music is terrific, Jerry Rice.